Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hello, everybody. It's February 5th, 2007. Or 007, as I like to call it. That was the theme song by Hard and Firm. I appreciate them coming up with that for me. And we're at the UCB Theater in Los Angeles in front of an awesome audience that came out at an early hour to be here. Some folks came in late, which I always encourage because I'd rather have you here at all than... Oh, and the cell phones going off, I encourage that as well. you know, that's the thing. People get so mad when a cell phone goes off in a movie or a play or whatever, especially if you're one of the actors on the stage, but in the play. But it's easy to forget to turn off your phone, you know? So you got to give people a break. When they answer it and talk, that's when you want to fucking kick them in the whatever they have down there. For more information about UCB Theater, go to ucbtheater.com. And I just want to say... ask you guys a question up top. Are any of you going to see Catch and Release starring Jennifer Garner and Kevin Smith in a speaking role? Only three or four of you? Good. The rest of you can stay. I'd like to ask those people to leave at this time. If it were possible to murder a movie, I would kill Catch and Release. I've seen the trailer so many times. I hate it so much I might even rape it first. And speaking of rape, my guest today rapes people's funny bones on a regular basis in clubs and on television. You know him from Comedians of Comedy, and you can look for him as a homeless piece of shit on the Sarah Silverman program. Please welcome Zach Galifianakis, everybody. Holy shit. Zach, there he is. Yes, take out the costumes, don't really fly on podcasts.
I just got back from an audition.
Were you auditioning for, what was...
Ice cream truck sales. Ice cream truck.
It says police
on
the hat.
I know, it's the only hat I had in my trunk.
Let's put it right there. Your trunk in the back of the theater?
Yeah.
You can pull the microphone out and hold it if you like, because we need you to talk directly into it. Or you can do that. That's not awkward at all.
This is a podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Glad I drove from Venice for this.
Venice, Italy?
Venice, Italy.
It's hard to catch a cab there.
They took a gondola, Doug.
A gondola?
It was a gondola. Gondola.
Let's start... a gondola confuses me, because sometimes it's a boat and sometimes it's a dangly thing on a wire. I don't understand how they could both be gondolas.
That's what the driver and I were talking about over here.
Really?
Yeah.
You're having the great gondola debate?
Yeah, yeah. He used to work up at one of the ski resorts, which was weird. And he got a job down here as a gondola guy. That makes
sense. I say gondola, you say gondola. Let's call this whole show off. So, current business. You play Fred Blorth in an episode of the Sarah Silverman program.
Yeah.
That airs soon. And I just have to say, I love the name Fred Blorth.
That's a good name, isn't it?
Isn't it great? I love it. It's almost as good as Ned Schneebly, which is my favorite fiction name from School of Rock. Alan Finger is another good one. From Dog Bites Man.
Yeah, another great
show. That late, great TV show. Five and out! Or was it more than that? How many were there?
11, I think. 11? 10 or 11, I don't know, I can't remember.
The guy that's a fan in the audience said seven.
Seven.
He only likes seven of them.
Oh, okay.
You weren't in some of them enough.
Yeah.
My favorite one was the one where your character, Alan Finger, just keeps talking about That's So Raven. Fucking hilarious. So this is going to air on February 5, and like Wayne pointed out last week, it's not really airing, it's available for you to listen to. And the Oscar nominations came out today, though, when we're recording this.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear the nominations? Were you up at 5:35 a.m.?
I just got finished jogging.
And you ran in and listened to the noms?
I was making egg whites. An egg white omelet. No, I didn't hear any. Who did...
Some stuff got nominated. Some of your closest friends in the business.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. Malcolm Jamal Warner or something?
Yes. Yes, he got nominated for Blood Diamond. It was he probably would have been better than Jaimin Hunsu nomination. That's what they're doing now, is they nominate people who might have been better in the role.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you really should have paid attention while you're making your egg whites to these crazy nominations they came out with today.
Hmm.
No, it was, the Queen and some other things. But if you didn't notice and don't care, we don't need to discuss it any further.
No, I'd like, did United 93 get nominated?
It got nominated for Best Director and Best Song. The song's called Morning After Two. And it was sung by that same lady, Maureen McGovern, who sang the Oscar-winning version for Poseidon Adventure. Here's the thing that cracked me up. Here's what cracked me up about the nominations today, is that Poseidon is Academy Award-nominated motion picture. It got nominated for effects. But even better, Click, starring Adam Sandler, is an Academy Award-nominated movie.
Oh, geez.
Because it got nominated for Best Makeup. Because I guess the characters get old at the end, and I guess it's well done, the makeup.
I haven't seen it.
No. I changed the channel. Because it's called Click. It's not even on TV yet. How could I... Anyway, I'm sure it's, I'm sure it's very funny.
I was disappointed when I went and saw United 93. I thought it was a Pixar film.
Talking plane.
Oh no, there are terrorists in me. I wish there was something I could do. I'm gonna have to leave it to the crew and the rest of the passengers.
So, Zach, Zachy G, what have you seen lately, motion picture wise, in a theater or at home or on a plane?
The last thing I saw last night was Children of Men. Saw that last night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you hear last week's show with Wayne Fetterman?
I did. I heard it.
Anarchist.
I heard it.
Troublemaker.
I loved the movie. I thought it was great.
Yeah, wasn't it?
It was really, really, really
there
good.
There we go. That situation has been rectified. People have been sitting by their computer for a week hoping my next guest will have some sense. But yeah, I just thought it was fantastic. Did you think it had logic problems?
I didn't listen to your whole podcast from last week, but just to reiterate that it was done last week. Why does a movie have to have logic? I mean, that's my... I didn't think it had any logic problems. I thought that it was very subtle, and the action was great. I love Clive Owen, and... I thought it was really, really good.
I thought it was really good in that. Easily his best work since Derailed.
But I did enjoy that movie very much. Would you call that your number one movie of 2006? Or would you go with Over the Hedge?
I don't like political movies.
In your notebook.
Is it too late for me to call the Academy and give them my two cents, or how does that work?
Yeah,
how do they get nominated?
It's done. It's nominated for screenplay, and like four guys wrote that logical screenplay, and it's nominated for cinematography and one other thing, maybe sound editing or something.
I don't know. Did Clive Owen not
get, editing. Probably editing.
Clive Owen didn't get a best actor?
No.
Best actor nod?
I think they dropped the ball on it. I think they released it like too late and just didn't get the right... buzz going on it, like, because some of these movies, Little Miss Sunshine, they've been hyping that shit since summer, and it just came in too late, and I was worried that would be the case, because when I watched it, I was like, this should be nominated for Best Picture, for Clive Owen, for Best Song. I keep saying Best Song, like that's going to pay off somehow. But Best Song is like the stilliest category. Like, there's two songs from Dreamgirls got nominated, and no songs from Happy Feet.
But
that
Melissa Etheridge is up for one. I read that for Inconvenient Truth.
Yeah,
she did.
No, it's
honestly
true. She wrote a song for Inconvenient Truth. It's about her
vagina.
It's about how lesbians have global warming too. It doesn't just affect the straights. anything you're looking forward to seeing in a motion picture theater anytime soon? Like, do you have one or two that are in the hopper, ready to go? Like, I'm going to check that out next?
I want to...
Catch and Release?
I auditioned for that, so yeah, I'll definitely see what
that
actor
did
with it.
Which part were you up for, Catch or Release?
I can't remember what I auditioned for, but I was wearing
probably
that same outfit.
Smith role.
Yeah, I'm sure it was chubby.
It was between him and Teller. And he got it.
A Teller or Teller?
No, A Teller, just the guy that works at the bank. Was Kevin Smith's toughest competition. Like, he doesn't act well when he doesn't have any lines. Like, why would they think giving him lines would help?
I've never seen him in a movie. I've never seen anything that he's done.
You didn't see World Trade Center?
Was he in that?
Mm-hmm. He played Nicolas Cage's partner. He looked Hispanic in the movie because he's versatile. So anything at all you're going to see? This is a tough memory test. Dreamgirls, you're going to check out Dreamgirls?
No, I haven't. I'm not going to see that. I mean, I am going to see it. I have a free pass to it, but I'm not eager to see it, but I will go see that.
Do you try to catch all the acclaimed movies at the end of the year? It gets hectic.
I've seen the ones that I've seen are Babel.
Cracked himself up with the mispronunciation.
I saw that one.
Did you like that?
I did. I liked it. Yeah.
See, I haven't seen that yet. That might creep into my top whatever if I see it.
I liked Little Miss Sunshine. I liked what else?
What did you think of the ending of Little Miss Sunshine?
Oh, I walked out.
Weren't you up for a guy in audience who goes, "Yeah, that's a total Zach roll." Total weird guy sitting there.
Yeah, but if I did, it would be like, I just have that one. I'd be like, line.
He was like a single dad that had to be there because of his kid, but like some people that saw that movie thought that there was like just this perverted guy in the audience. But he like was clearly bored. Like, if he was perverted, he wouldn't be bored by the whole thing. Like, he was some kid's dad, right?
Oh, I never thought of that. Was it open-ended that you could make up your own mind that
No, I don't think it was. I thought it was very clear that there was a biker guy with a little girl that's in the competition, and he had to sit through it, and that's why he was so happy when it got all pervy at the end.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah, I never
some people,
thought of that.
I've talked to people who think that Alan Arkin taught her that dirty dance as like a last fuck you to the world. Like this girl, he was proud of her and would have wanted to be there to see her do that dance. Like, he just thought that that's how women, that, you know, that's his experience with dancing.
Yeah,
right?
I heard that last week.
Wayne and I didn't talk about that part.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you did. I just, trust me, I just heard it last week.
Okay, let's
I have
move
a good
on.
Story about Toni Collette, though, who's in.
Oh,
Little
yes, please.
She,
I love those kind of stories.
She and I.
Yes.
I was working in London. I just like to tell every start every story like that. Yeah, I was working in London.
Country dropper.
Somehow we ended up eating pot cookies, and I was staying there for a few months, and she ended up in my place, and she sang a song to me while I for some reason I didn't have pants on, and I'll remember it in a minute. Wait, hold on, because it's really stupid. Oh. Olivia Williams, who was the other actress, and they were both in The Secret... What's it called? Sixth Sense?
Yeah. And Olivia with Williams Bruce. Is the teacher from Rushmore? Is
yes, that yeah,
actress?
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
And they were talking about Bruce Willis, and I took my pants off and said something like... I think I told him I called my legs Willis, and I took my pants off, and I went, look, bruised Willis. Because I happen to have a bruise on my hand, on my thigh. That's true. That I remember now.
You so didn't get a bruise on your thigh just to set up that
No. Thank God I had one so I could do that joke.
I thought you were going to say you call Bruce Willis and then you pull your pants down and look at yourself and go, what are you talking about, Willis? Like I have like this giant erection.
That would have been better. That would have been better. But she ended up singing a song called Calling All Angels, which is a Jane Siberry or Siberry song, which is beautiful. And I started crying on pot cookies. And then last
Your
week...
Your pants were still off?
Yes, my pants were off. And there's a video of it. There's a video of it. And then, because I was videotaping it, because I didn't think anybody would believe that I was hanging out with those actresses. And I saw her in a restaurant 2 days ago in Venice Beach, and I didn't want to bug her, so I just handed her a note saying, you made me cry with my pants off when we were high on pot cookies. And I walked out. I didn't get to see what her reaction was.
It'd just be funny if she like saw you in public somewhere and was like, hey, what's up, Bruce Willis? But I don't think it probably didn't make that much of an impression. I mean, she, you know, because she actually knows the guy. She worked with him in a movie where he was dead the whole time. You know what? That movie would have been ruined. He would have figured out he was dead if he went into a public restroom and tried to get a paper towel out of that machine that you have to run your hand in front of the red light. Because he'd be like, oh, it's not working. I must be a ghost.
Right.
Or if the toilet didn't flush when he got off of it, automatic toilet. Oh, shit, I'm a ghost.
Well, you can be alive and that could actually happen. That's what's confusing.
Well, that's the weird part.
Yeah.
So you're like, get scared for a second.
Right.
Oh,
like,
no,
shit,
I might
I
be
dead?
A ghost. And then you're just like, oh, it's just faulty.
Like you call a plumbing company, like, I think either there's two things that are wrong.
You call a plumbing company.
Either I'm dead.
If you're at the airport and the toilet
my toilet's
work.
Not working.
You oh, have that at your home toilet?
Yeah, I have an automatic toilet thing.
Ooh, yeah. Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
All right, so any classic motion pictures that you that you're fond of?
Oh,
you,
from the past?
They're like your favorites from the past, or if you could answer Children of Men again if you'd like.
Because
I can't get enough of talking about that.
Please
don't say Out Cold. I know it's a great film, but movies you're in do not count.
Well, then I don't have an answer. This film, I hate when people say film. This movie, this talkie I saw called With Nell and I. Have you ever seen With Nell and I?
Yeah, With Nell, yeah.
No, With Nell and I. Do you know what I'm talking
with
about?
With Nell and I, yeah.
You, yeah.
But they pronounce it Whitnell.
Oh, do they?
Don't they?
I don't
movie?
Remember.
Don't they say it that way?
I didn't see it.
Oh, okay. But in theory, it's one of your favorites.
It's a great... The cover of the DVD is really good.
No, that's a really funny movie.
That's a great movie. Goddamn.
Yeah, that's a good time.
It's so good. See it if you have it. If,
see it if you have it. If you own Whitnell and I, watch it. It's been sitting on the shelf. Just fucking pop
Dust
it
Dust that thing off.
And check it out. Like
put that beta
you were smart
in there.
To buy it and dumb to not watch it.
Yep.
Good work. Well, let's talk a little bit about your oeuvre, your films, your milieu. I don't know if any of those words actually apply. You played Weird Wally in a movie called Below. Mm. How did you research that role? Did you spend time with Weird Al to play Weird Wally?
I'll wait till you ask a serious question.
Okay, that's fair. You were stop man in Bubble Boy.
I have
an underrated movie, if you ask me.
Yeah,
personally,
yeah.
Your scene's very funny. Mm-hmm. You're sitting in some sort of booth,
mm-hmm.
and you're acting like there's other people in line.
Right.
Don't you say next a lot?
Yeah. that movie was with the Jake.
Did Jake Gyllenhaal spit in his hand and make love to you during the making?
His career and my career have kind of taken different trajectories since that film.
Yeah, you didn't have to sell out and act like a queer
to
get attention. But I did like that movie, I gotta say.
But the Weird Wally, the Below movie, mm-hmm. I was out of town and I was at a hotel and I had to read with someone and I just had a camera and I had the maid read off camera with me. And I gave her like 20 extra bucks, and then when I sent the tape in, and I got it, the role. But this maid had read with me, so kind of cool.
So she's like seeking you out for more money now?
No, she. It was weird.
She's trying to shake you down.
Yeah, it was very odd. I just decided, and I also decided to put oranges in my mouth while I was auditioning, and I thought that would act to the weird part. And but it did. It worked. It worked. If you're ever looking for a part, put oranges in your mouth and read with a maid.
Save it for the actor's studio. Now, when you worked with Jason Lee in Heartbreakers, did he try to make you a Scientologist?
Sarah
Silverman. Did the subject ever come up?
Sarah Silverman, said to Sarah, who's also in the movie, said, I went, that Jason Lee guy is really nice. And she's like, he just thinks you're a sucker for Scientology. That's why he's being so nice to you. And I realized that maybe she was right. But that movie, the director never said anything to me except once. He goes, "Cut, Zach, stop improvising." And then and then Sarah goes out loud in front of everybody. She goes, "I think it would be better if I said Zach's lines." And he goes, "Yeah, you say his lines." And my lines were like cut in half because Sarah was joking just to fuck with me, but the guy like, "Yeah."
Yeah, go ahead.
You take those four words that he has and take two of them.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, both of you are kind of like sort of an afterthought, which is a shame because you know, the main storyline wasn't very interesting in that movie. What, people like that movie?
No one saw it.
Yeah. I saw Jennifer Jason... Jennifer Jason Lee, I just almost called her. Jennifer Hewitt.
Jennifer
Love. I saw
her
boobies.
Yeah, I actually, when I was working on that movie with her, I challenged her, because I was like, I bet you can't be a dramatic actress. And she's like... I can, and then I had her say as serious as she could, "Don't you ever fart on my tits again." And she did it really convincingly. She was like, "Don't you ever fart on my tits again." She did it. I guess someone had farted on her tits. She was just like recalling it.
Did she whisper it to you?
Yeah.
And are you a ghost? If I'd have said that right, it might have been better. Did she whisper it? Now, I recall you saying that on that very same movie, Ray Liotta tried to make you his bitch.
God, that's right. Ray Liotta and I went to a Hell's Angels bar, and there's like, they all recognize him, and surprisingly, none of the Hell's Angels recognize me from UCB Theater. He was like, they were all sitting on an outdoor picnic table, and he's like, "Hey, this guy's a comedian. Tell some jokes. Tell to all these guys." And I'm like, "I'm not going to tell you. I'm not. No." He goes, "Tell some fucking jokes." And I'm like, "I'm not. No." He goes, "Well, then go get us some drinks." And I'm carrying drinks back, and it's just like that goddamn scene in Goodfellas where the kid gets shot in the foot.
Yeah, Michael Imperioli.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what happened. Yeah.
That's how you got that bruise on your leg. Wow. The thing I liked about that you telling that story is it's exactly as I remember it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if some people, if you ask them, like, what happened with you and Ray Liotta when, you know, you told it to me already, but, like, some time has gone by, so suddenly it would have all these kind of weird embellishments, and it'd have more, like, beats to it and or whatnot, but that's, like, exactly the same as the last time you told it.
Well, I mean, except we are roommates
except
now.
Except for farting on his tits.
Yeah. Yeah, we're roommates now. I forgot to add that. No, all my stories are legitimate.
No, they're good, and they're precise and to the point.
Thank you.
You're good. You're good at parties. You're good at parties.
You don't ever. Worst.
Oh, when's Zach gonna shut up about Ray Liotta? It's like three sentences and out.
That would be great if I was known as that guy that always tells that Ray Liotta story. Now, Zach's cool at everything, but God damn, don't bring up Ray Liotta. Jesus.
Do not mention it.
Christ. Here he comes again.
You were so happy when Smith got canceled after two episodes.
No, I wasn't. Ray and I were very disappointed.
Now, I see you brought some things.
Oh, I didn't know what the show was. I didn't know what the show was. So I just brought...
You had no idea what it was? Like, movies with Doug Benson?
We talked about it on the phone the other day, but I wasn't paying attention. And so I thought I had to grab some DVDs just in... I didn't know if you were showing movies. And then I grabbed the only DVDs I had, which unfortunately are Sanford and Son.
Which season?
It's
season
fourth.
Four. That's one of the better ones.
You know,
season four is when they really got into their stride.
You know who used to write
that's
on that
the
show?
That's the season where AJ lost some weight and he started to get in trouble with the mob. Oh, wait, I'm thinking of The Sopranos. I'm sorry.
What's his face used to write on this show? Gary. Yeah.
Gary
Shandling. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wayne Fetterman, last week's guest. He comes to all the shows.
It's weird. Do I have to come to the next show?
Yes, you do.
Oh, God.
You were supposed to come to Wayne's last week and pay attention. So you brought that. You brought your own Zach Galifianakis Live at the Purple Onion.
That's
Is that
the only,
available in
the,
stores now?
No, it'll never be available. That's the only copy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was going to see if anybody wanted to rent it tonight. And then you have to return it back to me, and then I have to send it off. This is my own personal Netflix.
And then you also brought... this one you don't want to talk about?
I don't know why I brought it. It's not. It's uncomfortable. I don't want to talk about it.
All right. That's fair. I mean, you shouldn't have to talk about that because your true calling is comedy. And
oh.
You are fantastic at it. I ask this of almost all my guests. Have you ever worked with Alec Baldwin?
No.
Are you as in love with him right now as I am?
No.
Everything I see him in, I cannot get enough of the guy.
He's
lately.
Quite good.
He's
yeah.
He's always great in everything.
Did you see The Good Shepherd?
No, he's in that.
Yeah,
too,
he's
right?
in that too. But
I didn't see that.
It loses me because it's from the like the 19. It's like spans.
I did
from...
see Bad Lieutenant.
Was he in that?
No, but isn't that kind of like Good Shepherd?
No, the good.
It's got one word that's either good or bad, and then another word after it. That's a type of
oh,
thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I didn't think of that.
People, I saw Bad Santa.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
I have fucking no clue what I was going to say. Oh,
that's
I know.
What happens when I throw in a
anyway,
shitty
The Good
joke.
Shepherd. I wonder if Wayne saw The Good Shepherd.
Well, he's here. Let's ask him.
Wayne, did you see it?
Didn't see Good Shepherd. It's about the
yeah,
beginnings
it is.
Of the CIA.
Yeah.
It was
I was hoping
by
you would
the
see it
most
it's
boring
very
man, supposedly.
It's very convoluted. It's very confusing.
Complicated, yeah.
Yeah, it's very. And they lost me because it spans from like the 1940s to the 60s, but there was a scene where Matt Damon is bumping fist with someone.
That just sounds like a sex thing. I've never heard it referred to as bumping fists.
What is that called when
it's,
people?
Yeah, it's the OCD handshake.
Oh, is that
it's
what?
The Howie Mandel we're calling it now.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the old Bob Dole.
No, that's if you have a pen in one hand.
Oh, yeah.
So at the end of every episode of I Love Movies, I know you haven't heard one before, Zach, but at the end of every episode, we play a game called Leonard Maltin. And it was sort of invented by Brian Posehn and I, and Sarah Silverman enjoys playing it. And it's basically you read the cast from a movie from the bottom of the cast list up, mm-hmm. according to Leonard Maltin, and then the other person has to try and guess what movie it is.
Okay.
So do you want me to do one to you, or do you sure. want to do one to me?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, here we go. See if you recognize the people in this movie. No, you know what? I'm not going to do that one. That was a bad idea. I got, you know, it's got to be something you've probably seen. And I'll tell you the year first, just to help you out. Oh, here's a good one. 1992.
Mm.
Okay. Jerry Lewis.
Gandhi.
I can count on you to do that. I knew that you'd say something funny right away. Slappy White. You don't have to guess every time. Carl Ballantyne. Jackie Gale.
Jerry Lewis is the last one, and you're
the
reading
last.
Up?
He's the smallest role of
in
the 90, listed
1992.
Players. 1992.
Okay.
It's a tricky game, Zach.
Yeah.
It's not easy. Jerry Orbach.
Okay. You're getting close.
Also,
you're getting warm.
Also the voice of the candle in Beauty and the Beast.
Yep. You're getting close. Oh, wait. I'm guessing
Silver.
It.
You have to guess. I mean, I can guess it, too. I can guess, too. It's a little easier for me, but... Not a lot easier. Helen Hunt. We have a twister guess in the audience.
There's a twister coming. Wow!
Jerry Lewis was great in Twister.
Hey, lady cow!
It's not...
What are lady cows called?
you don't just yell out movies that these people have been in. It's got to be one that's had all of these people... in it. Jerry Orbach came in and questioned the twister about its whereabouts. Julie Warner, David Paymer, who was just on, I was just on a plane with him, and the whole flight I was like, if this motherfucker crashes, it's going to be David Paymer and some comedian died in a plane crash, because he got nominated for an Oscar for this movie. Hint, hint, don't yell it out.
David Paymer.
And the last name, this should give it away, but might not. Billy Crystal.
Oh, I know it. It's Mr. Saturday Night.
Very good, Zach.
I like that
movie. Do you want to try doing one
to me? I like that movie.
You did?
Yeah. So starting from the bottom and then going up.
Yeah, and just pick preferably anyone. Something from since 1980-something, because it's I don't like doing them with old movies, because I don't know any of those people.
1980-something?
A young man.
Okay.
Yeah, anything in the 80s. Tell me the year first.
Okay.
And then read from the bottom of the cast list up.
Up.
And do it slowly, because I like to suspense, and I like to jump in with my answer.
Pick out Doug Benson. One.
First of all, I'm not listed in any movie
that's
in there. My parts have all been much too small.
This is too easy. I gotta go...
Yeah, go harder.
I'm looking
go
for Amelie.
Harder.
If I could just
I would definitely not get Amelie. Audrey Tautou.
Can I just find Amelie and then read it and see if you can guess Amelie?
Okay. Or I could think maybe it's a very long engagement. Same
That's
director,
good movie.
Same actress. Yeah. I love that movie.
Yeah, I like her a lot.
Was that ever in your top 10?
I'd give her a piece of the Greek sausage any day. I'd love to fuck her doggy fashion. We should do a talk show where it's just about us how we want to fuck Audrey Tautou.
I saw her walking around in Greenwich Village one day, and I couldn't think of anything to say. So I didn't.
That's a really good story.
She's a cutie. It was a few years ago. I thought of saying, don't do the Da Vinci Code 4 or 5 years from now. It's not going to be your big break in America to be in that dumb movie.
For some reason, I'm hitting everything like in the 30s, and then there's a... I'm sorry. Okay.
It's all right. We're doing good for time.
Okay.
That's our show.
This will be good. 1987.
Okay.
This will be hard, though.
That's how I like it.
Justin Lewis.
Don't know who that is.
Michael Ironside.
I know who that is. He's in RoboCop.
Lisa...
Lapidelli?
Lisa Scrop... S.
Don't even try the ones you can't pronounce. Just skip those.
There's an actor in here that goes by 2.5 stars. And then the last actor is Bruce.
That's all? There's only five actors in it?
Yeah.
Okay, wait, back up.
Okay.
Michael Ironside.
Yep. Justin Lewis. Wendy Lyon. Michael Ironside.
Wendy Lyon.
Yeah, Wendy Lyon.
Was this made in another country?
Just seeing if her middle name is the.
Is it foreign?
No, it's not. Okay. Because you'd know right away if it was Wendy the Lion, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, if you said Wendy T. Lyon, I would know that it's that the movie is...
Wendy, he's Lyon?
Chronicles of Narnia.
Okay, and...
Wendy T. Lyon.
Oh, Wendy the T. Lyon. Oh, okay, I got it. All right, got it. I thought you said something else.
And who's the last person? It should give it away when you
I'm getting
the lead
ready to say
actor.
It. Bruce Pittman.
Oh, Pittman. So many movies from that year that starred Pittman.
1987. Does anybody know it?
We might want to leave this one as a cliffhanger so people have to tune in next time to find out the answer. Zach Galifianakis, everybody. Thanks for coming on the show. Look for him on the Sarah Silverman program on Comedy Central. And until next time, this is Doug Benson saying Willem Dafoe is a shithead.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky.